You're listening to WMUK. I'm Rebecca Thiel.
Get off the floor. Get off the floor. Learn it and learn it well.
This is one of the opening scenes in the 1990 documentary Paris is Burning. Drag queen Pepper LaBeija struts the catwalk in a billowing gold gown and large feathered hat. It's a competition called a house ball or Harlem ball, named after the Harlem neighborhood in New York. Drag queens, transgender, and gender non-conforming people dress up and dance or walk the floor. Tomorrow, Western Michigan University's LBGT Student Services will host its own ball during its Fall Fab Fest. Director Natalie Wen says in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, these Harlem balls helped to unite the LGBT community. They created a safe space for transgender and gender non-conforming people of color.
This is during the time of civil unrest. You got civil rights going on. You have anti-war protests and so on and so forth. That was when the LGBT community was really starting to take off. It was mostly lesbian and gay. And what they noticed is, these communities noticed, is that in the LGBT clubs, the gay clubs, they were often discriminated against in as far as, you know, being drag pageants or performances or anything like that. They were not chosen as winners. So they started their own house ball community, so that way they could have their own competitions. Sometimes some folks in the house ball scene also lived in the house because, you know, a lot of them were transient because of being thrown out of their family or thrown out of the community or landlords not renting out to them.
Wen says back in the day, few employers would hire trans folks, and some were forced into jobs that worked nights or even prostitution. Though money was tight, people in Harlem balls would cobble together elaborate costumes.
You'd be surprised at how creative folks can get.
I like the competition. Makes me stronger. Makes me think more. Makes me want to come back and get them.
Harlem balls actually date back to the late 1860s and started becoming popular in the 1920s. Wen says for a long time, they were targets for police.
They were shutting down both the balls as well as the gay bars. And a lot of these gay bars back in the day also may not have had all the required certifications and licenses in order to operate as a gay bar as well. So I think it was probably easier for the police to shut down the gay bars than it was for a house ball.
Wen says the LGBT community had ways of avoiding the police.
Whether it be a light switch that, you know, turn on a specific light and everybody would like switch up partners in the gay clubs to, you know, being very underground and advertising very discreetly, you know, that there was a house ball event coming up.
Wen says the United States still has a long way to go toward accepting transgender and gender nonconforming people. He says many of us know someone who's gay, lesbian, or bisexual.
There's less awareness of what it means to be trans. And the thing is, as Western culture, as human beings, we like things very binary. You're either this or you're that. And when we're somewhere in between, that's when some folks feel uncomfortable, right? So that's when you see things such as House Bill 2 in North Carolina or Texas trying to approve, you know, some sort of bill or law against trans folks.
Wen says that's why we still need safe spaces like Harlem balls today. Western's LBGT Student Services will host a ball tomorrow from 3 to 6 at Trimp Hall. The event will include a historical look at Harlem balls, drag performers, workshops, LGBT resource info, and an open mic. You can find a link with more information on our website. For WMUK, I'm Rebecca Thiel.